A groundbreaking study, but was it a fraud? It's the Friday Mixer. All right, here's the scenario. Someone shows up at your door, asks you up front on a scale of 1 to 10 what your opinion is on a social issue. You have a chat about it at the door, and then a few minutes later, they ask you for that number again. UCLA graduate student Michael LaCour published a study in Science last December suggesting that people who opposed or were on the fence about same-sex marriage can be convinced, cajoled, coerced to change their minds after having a conversation with a gay or lesbian canvasser. Here's why it's a big deal. It was published, as I mentioned, in the journal Science. It's been highly pointed to as an example of a big societal shift. And it's been widely reported all over the place, including on the public radio program This American Life.
And a study by researchers at UCLA and Columbia University found that a year later, not only did these voters stay convinced, they also convinced others in their own households to switch. Apparently, neither of those things ever happens.
But another doctoral student at UC Berkeley pointed out irregularities in that research, and now UCLA is investigating. LaCour's doctorate and a recent offer of a teaching job at Princeton hang in the balance. Tom Bartlett's been following that case for the Chronicle of Higher Education. He's with us now. Hey, Tom.
Hi there.
Jesse Singel is a senior editor at New York Magazine. He added a blog about the science of human behavior. Jesse, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Let me say up front that we reached out to Michael LaCour earlier this week, and he never responded to our request for an interview. I want to start with you, Tom Bartlett, and let's describe LaCour's study. What was he trying to find out?
Basically, what he was trying to find out is whether short conversations can change minds on big social topics. So the topic he was looking at was same-sex marriage, and so he wanted to find out whether a canvasser, whether a gay canvasser coming to someone's door, having a brief conversation with that person about the topic could possibly change their mind. So in order to determine whether one's mind has been changed, we have to know what someone thought in the first place. So the idea was that he had surveyed a lot of people in advance and found out what they thought, and then canvassers would come along to their door and attempt to change their minds.
And he claimed, and this is to both of you, that people's views on same-sex marriage could change just by discussing the issue for a few minutes at someone's doorstep?
I mean, what was striking about the finding is that we know public opinion on gay marriage is changing. I mean, it's changing hugely. But a great deal of sort of political psychology and persuasion science in general had suggested that this isn't how it works. You don't just have one conversation and suddenly your view shifts. So that's why the results stood out so much.
And I mean, the first thing I thought when I listened to the program, when I listened to This American Life and they were talking about this was like, well, yeah, I mean, someone standing in front of you just to avoid any kind of discomfort, you're going to say pretty much anything, right?
Right. And that's a phenomenon called, I think, the social desirability bias. What was striking about these results was they seemed to last a full 9 months when the respondents took an online survey 9 months later. So this wasn't a matter of them just sort of responding to the fact that they were speaking with a gay person.
There are other researchers who worked with LaCour. Donald Green was one of them, right? A well-known, well-respected researcher who had seen some of these irregularities.
Well, it's right. So, I mean, Donald Green had, he didn't spot the irregularities. He's very well-known in the field and is really a pioneer in experimental political science, sort of actually going out into the field and trying to determine, you know, how people, you know, their views on various issues and things like this. And so, you know, LaCour was very much a junior, or is very much a junior researcher, and Green is very much a senior researcher. And they worked together on this paper. And it appears that Green, he definitely didn't catch red flags that popped up before this study was published.
Was published in Science magazine, which I mean, you
right.
know, look, when you're published in Science, that's a pretty big deal.
Huge deal. And this was a very prominent study. And I, you know, political scientists I talk to say, you know, this was, you know, the most talked about study in their field that they can remember. I mean, this was a huge study that was, you know, won awards and was all the buzz and was on the cusp of launching LaCour into a, you know, a very high profile career, a job at Princeton. He'd become a star very quickly, and then it all comes crashing down.
Well, let's talk about the crashing down, and then we'll talk about the ramifications of it. What happened? How did we know some of this stuff just didn't jibe?
Well, so it all began when David Brockman, a graduate student at UC Berkeley, also in political science, he was really excited by these results. LaCour apparently did this thing where he would sort of buttonhole you at a conference and show you his snazzy findings on an iPad. He met Brockman for breakfast one day, showed him these results. Brockman was blown away. Brockman did some sort of back-of-the-envelope calculations and figured out that if he wanted to replicate this, it would cost him $1 million. And that is just not an amount of money graduate students usually have. So Brockman didn't immediately jump from that to being suspicious, but it was an immediate small red flag that something here wasn't quite right.
And LaCour had said that he got a bunch of grants, right? Like $800,000, some large sum of money in grants.
Yeah, and this was one of the really weird striking things about this is when you look at the old version of his CV, $793,000 worth of grants, and nobody I spoke to said that that is at all normal for a graduate student. He really made up a lot of grants, which has since been proven by our outlet and others.
And he also apparently made up a teaching award that he said he had gotten. Is that right? You mentioned this on your blog, Jesse.
Yeah, we broke the news that one of the items on his CV was called the Emerging Instructor Award. I called up UCLA, and 5 minutes later, they had told me there's no such award. So this was one of many things on his resume that wasn't true that were sort of hiding in plain sight.
How did you find out it wasn't true? I mean, what happened?
I just called up UCLA. They told me there was no such award. And then I emailed LaCour and had a really strange interaction with him.
What did he say?
Basically, he first tried to get me to delay publishing that news. I told him I couldn't. And then I was sort of notified that his site had updated. I'd installed this thing just to keep an eye on his website. And suddenly there was a new version of his CV that didn't have that on anymore. And then he emails me and he tells me, what are you talking about? That was an old version of my CV. So it was just this sort of weird, clumsy-seeming attempt to cover his tracks.
This reminds me so much, and it's a different field, journalism, but it reminds me so much of Stephen Glass. Doesn't it, you guys, when he was at the New Republic?
Absolutely. And I mean, a number of professors I've talked to have made the Stephen Glass comparison, because there aren't, I mean, in science, this isn't the sort of problem we usually talk about. What we talk about are researchers maybe, slightly fudging results, or maybe setting up an experiment in such a way as to get the answer they want, or maybe using a number of subjects in a way that really doesn't tell us what we need to learn. These cases of these really, what this appears to be a really years-long con is what this looks like. These are fairly rare, not unprecedented, but, rare. And so, you have to reach back to Glass or, a few other examples to find a comparison.
Does this bolster the anti-gay marriage efforts? Do they point to this and say, it's not happening as quickly as you think?
I'd be skeptical of any claim like that, because you can just look at opinion polling over the last decade, and there has been a complete sea change. I think most polls now show a majority of Americans support gay marriage. So this survey, in retrospect, the study, I should say, was weirdly dramatic. But that doesn't mean there aren't big cultural changes underway.
Tom Bartlett from the Chronicle of Higher Education. Tom, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much.
All right, Jesse Singel, senior editor at New York Magazine. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
And again, we did attempt to contact Michael LaCour about his study. We've gotten no response back. When we do, we will, of course, let you know.